The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, Lewis, you look annoyed.
I look hot.
You don't look hot. I'll be honest, I don't know what's going on with my lights. We're recording at night, but this is better. I was actually looking and thinking, fuck me, I look good looking tonight.
You look, your lighting's way better because you don't have weird shadows coming in from, we do the show at a time where like the light's changing overhead as well. So in the beginning of the show, it's different lighting than the end of the show.
Yeah, but let's focus on me. Really, 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 really good looking as opposed to the technicalities of the light. I look great. Luke, you look okay.
I look pretty good. My cheekbones are sucked out. When I start losing weight, you know, and I'm down about 10 pounds, it always starts in the face. So you get in my little cheekbones first. They pop.
Well, they're popping.
Right there. And they're popping, baby boy.
I'm popping a beer as well. You know good. Why? For people listening to this, we're releasing this on Thursday, but it is Sunday night. That's why the light is different. That's why I look so ridiculously handsome. And that's why I just cracked a can of Sapporo, because I go in for a surgery on Tuesday. Obviously, we're going to do our regular Monday show, which know that you would have heard by now, and it was amazing. Wow. But we're pre-recording this because obviously on Tuesday, I'm going under the knife. They're going to cut me open. They're going to remove my knee.
Sex change.
All the tendons. They're going to shave down my femur, my tibia, my fibia, put in a metal knee and push it together and staple it back up. It's going to be a fucking in-depth surgery. It's horrible. It's grim. I'm very nervous about it.
It's the exact same surgery you had on the other knee?
The exact same surgery.
What's the odds of that? That's kind of weird.
What do you mean? I know. So like, check this out. When I went blind in one eye, I carried on fighting because all the doctors said, don't fight. It's dangerous. If you go blind in your other eye, you know, then you're blind, right? And I'm like, yeah, well, lightning isn't going to strike twice. That's what I always said. Lightning will not strike twice. I've had the bad luck. How many people are losing vision in the UFC? Not many. I'm like, that happened. It won't happen again. And then fucking fast forward to November 2017. I'm on a plane coming back from fucking Shanghai after being knocked out. And then, yep. Problems with the left eye. And yep. Yeah, so obviously I had the knee replacement last year. And then my right knee, which had never bothered me once. The moment that left knee, which got replaced, started feeling better, pain in the right leg started straight away. So anyway,
So you're saying lightning has struck your body four times at this point?
Yeah, it has. I'm very both unlucky eyes, when both it comes knees. To lightning. Keep the fingers out of the fucking plug socket, Michael. What's going on?
You're getting surgery, I'm moving that exact same day, and I've been packing all day. We were supposed to do this podcast earlier today, and I was so behind. I was like, I just didn't even think about it, and I asked you to do it late tonight. So we're doing this very, very late, and I do thank you for taking your time to do this so late. I'm fucking, dude, I'm so exhausted. And I can't even bitch about it because you're getting a fucking surgery.
No. I just want to say, so you haven't even moved yet. You've been assembling a few knickknacks into a box. That is not moving, right? I was like, oh shit, Lewis is moving. That's a stressful day, right? You're going to cart stuff to the other side. You're going to go to New Jersey with those ruffians, okay? I was very, very concerned for the well-being of yourself, particularly much more James, okay? Going out to New Jersey, bro. Woo. Anyway.
Is Jersey rough? Does Jersey have a perception of being tough?
I'm joking. I don't know. You live in fucking Brooklyn, baby. That's way rougher. But you haven't moved. You've assembled some cardboard boxes. You put a bit of sellotape on there, and you're throwing a few pens and some underwear into a box.
I'm going to tell you why.
Calm down, doggy.
why your perspective is because, and also the great Rebecca Bisping, apparently she's lurking around in the room, so she could probably attest to this as well.
Who's that?
When you guys, hi Rebecca, when you guys have moved, this side of it, and this has been my case every other time I've moved in my entire life, this side of it, which is the packing of the boxes, the fucking wrapping of the dishes, every single dish, every plate you got to wrap. It's not like, it's crazy. Every individual plate, every cup, it's psychotic. But the women do all that shit, and we never have to deal with it. We lift the boxes, we put them in a truck, and we move it to the other side of the thing. It's very, like, blunt work. The little, like, fine work that these women do, I have so much more respect for them because I'll never fucking do this again. I'm going to hire some chicks to do this next time.
First of all, stop right there. I got so much to say. I don't even think I can say it. First of all, my fucking shame bell, Rebecca. Where's the shame bell?
Where's my fucking shame bell?
Lucas has the shame bell because I wanted to shame you because I'm like, how dare you? This is the year 2020. 2020. And you say, oh, all the folding of underwear and the little trinkets being put into boxes. That's for the women. Guys, we carry things with our backs and our legs and our biceps. But turns out Rebecca has something else to say.
It's nothing funny. I was just going to say, you can pay someone to do that. I've never done that.
Lewis earns a tremendous amount of money. Like, so much money.
Whoa. Easy.
That's what he said. An insane amount of money going through his bank account. But it's too cheap is what you're saying, Rebecca.
Yeah, but it doesn't. It's not a lot of money. It's like, it's pretty
not a lot of money, Lewis.
What I've done, and thank you, Rebecca, for saying this, because tomorrow I'm at my wit's end right now. My whole apartment's in shambles. I've hired Harrington to come tomorrow.
God, oh,
and
God.
Finish off my bedroom.
Oh, God. Don't do it. Abort mission right now. Let me tell you this. Dad, he listens to the podcast all the time. Dad isn't my version of a Harrington, but in this situation, my dad was a Harrington. Okay. We moved from England to America kind of on a knee-jerk reaction. We'd been talking about moving to Australia, to somewhere for a long time. And in the end, we said, screw it, let's go to America. And we just booked flights that day. We've been talking about it for years, and all my friends and even family members were probably like, they're never going to go. They're full of shit. They talk about it. So one day, right, didn't we? Come in.
I'm here because I'm dying to say something, but you have to tell the story first.
Okay, all right. So she wants to talk shit and fucking make a fool out of me. Thank you, Ben. No. So I said, if we're going to do it, let's just go. Okay, so we booked a flight that day. And then like 5 days later, we jumped on the plane and we flew out there. And everyone was like, you're crazy. I'm like, well, no, planes go both ways. If we go there and we don't like it, we'll just come back. So we went. And then, right, obviously we got all our stuff. All our worldly belongings in our nice house that we just done up. I said, it's okay. My dad will deal with it. Okay. So we went round everything in the house with post-it notes.
You
stop.
No.
Do not interrupt.
You did not.
No, we did. There was a little slap there. That was domestic violence. That was me silencing my wife. Silence. Do not interrupt me. No. So I put post-it notes. Keep, throw. Throw pertaining to the trash. Throw away. Put it in the bin. It's shit. We don't want it anymore, right? So then we move. My dad had to figure all that out. He's like, oh, yeah. Well, that fucking stuff, you could throw that away. And this stuff is to keep and throw, send that to America. Anyway, the day comes. My dad, thank you, Dad, for doing it. I appreciate it. It must have been a lot of work. The stuff comes. The bus, the truck, we unload it all. We unbox it. What comes? All the shit. Some of the good items, but predominantly most of the things that were for the trash. Now that I've said that, Rebecca, what do you want to say?
That what he just told you is extremely incorrect because the idea was, it was my idea to put post-it notes and everything. I said, we need to label everything so it's very clear. Michael said, no, it's easy. Everything on this side of the room stays.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, we did. We said, this side of the room stays.
And everything
that side of the room
on
goes.
This side of the room goes. I'm like, okay.
But Hold on, Lewis. Does that sound like a good enough system?
I mean, it's a pretty clear-cut system. But the problem is, it's only one mistake that could be made that ruins it all.
Well, exactly. You get the sides mixed up.
If you make that one mistake, it's going to fuck up your whole life.
Or over the month that we were living in America, somebody starts just like moving something searching through the things. I'm not saying the person that rented our house was a thieving little shit, but there was things missing. I'm just saying, What? No, I'm saying, it's all coming out now. It's all coming out. I don't care. The gloves are off. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about that. Lewis, tell us about your torture and misery.
Well, yeah. So now I've been doing this for a day and a half. So I've hired Harrington. Tomorrow's crazy. Mondays are always crazy for me. And Harrington's going to come over and help me finish off the last room.
Hold on. Let's break this down. Now, bearing in mind, 2020, he's an employee, right? Gas Digital. I don't know if he's contracted or not. Harrington, you might want to check on this.
Oh, yeah, we're paying him. I'm taking out of the Believe You Me budget.
How much are you paying him for how much work?
I'm paying him $25 an hour.
Reasonable.
For what we are going to assume will take 2 to 3 hours. And if he does the right, he'll probably just get $100. He'll probably get $100 for it.
That's good. Then Harrington... Harrington, prepare to show yourself. We want to see what you're looking like today. How do you feel about this arrangement? I thought he was going to just chuck you a $50 bill, and that's crisp one, for an hour, a day and a half, possibly 2 days. Maybe it's into 3 days of abuse. But no, $25 an hour, Harrington, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you were objecting to it, I was typing into the chat that I need the money, so please don't take the work away from me.
That's a pretty good job, $25 an hour. Now, let me ask you, are you going to go forward with decency and try and get it done as fast as possible? Or are you going to be like, Lewis, there's a lot of work. You know, you look at this, you think it's 3 hours of work, but
I'll bonus him to get it done faster. I'll pay him more money if he gets it done faster. I don't play that shit.
So, Lewis, he just got a raise from $25 to $30 an hour, you're saying?
I'll give him $50 an hour if he doesn't. If he can get every Harrington, you'll probably make $100 tomorrow for coming over for a couple hours and smoking some weed and having to put some shit in some boxes for a couple hours. Okay, it's not a bad deal.
I thought I might get pizza out of it too, but I'm fine with that arrangement.
We're not eating pizza. We're in fucking body beast mode right now, piece of shit.
Listen, I'm not shitting on you, Harrington, because you're part of the show and we love you, buddy. But come on, you get to hang out with Lewis at his apartment, eat pizza and smoke weed with him. You would do that for free. Come on, sycophant 101, let's be honest.
I've done that for free many a night.
I would love it. It sounds great when you put it that way.
Yes, not a bad night. I'm sure most people listening to this podcast, Lewis, in the New York area would come and help you move for free.
There's a fan. I feel bad because I'm leaving Bisping. This is so funny. I don't even know if I told you this. There's a deli, a bodega, as they say, maybe 3 blocks from my apartment here in Harlem. And I go in one day and the guy behind the counter is like, Indian, Pakistani, I'm not sure. I don't want to, you know, disrespect him by not knowing what the fuck he is, because I think they get upset if you call one the other. But he's fucking, you know, he's one of them.
Yeah, well, hold on. Indians and Pakistanis, they hate each other.
I know.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Much about it, but there's a lot of political tension.
I don't know.
From the country Kashmir, they both lay claims to Kashmir. Something to do with that. Believe it or not, not a massive expert on the Middle East tensions.
Neither am I. But look, Dominicans and Puerto Ricans. If that guy was like, oh, he's Dominican, I don't really give a shit. But like some Puerto Ricans and Dominicans would care. There's like a thing there. We're like, you don't call a Puerto Rican Dominican. That's stupid in my opinion. But whatever. I don't want to offend the guy. Whatever he is, he's one of those, you know? But he's a big fan of the show. So I walk in one day and he's like, oh my God, Lewis Jane Gomez. Like, I'm such a big fan of Believe You Me, blah, blah, blah. So I went and when I went to buy the stuff, he didn't charge me for the stuff, but then I felt bad. So now I don't go in because I don't want him to think that I'm coming in for free shit.
I know this. I know the plight of this so much. You know, I know this one because people are very friendly, but you don't want to take advantage of it. But you do want to go there because they offer an excellent product and service, which I'm happy to pay for. But like, no, they want to give it to you for free. And I know everybody listening to this, that, oh, so hard. But it does get a little bit weird.
I got to do an argument with the deli on my corner, which is the closer one. So I had to go there. And I don't want to go there because I don't want him to think that I'm trying to get free shit.
Oh, so if he sees you in the other deli, though, he's going to be like, you motherfucking cocksucker. I offer you free sandwiches. I'm a fan of Believe You Me. This is perfectly kosher meats and halal and whatever it is.
Easy.
I don't know what I'm saying here. I don't know what I'm going on about. But you're offending him, Lewis.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
Well, if he's listening, I apologize. I'm moving out of the neighborhood, sir. I'll never see you again. But
well,
I did appreciate
you pop
that.
In. Maybe you should pop in. You should knock on the door. Say, hey, Mr. You know.
Easy.
Patel. There you go. That'll work for both. Mr. What's Patel.
I did go in the other day, and I asked him for boxes to move. I asked him for free stuff.
Was he the Indian guy? He'll have boxes galore. Well, so you take, you just take, take, take. And then the day that you leave, you won't even say goodbye. That's, you know, it's funny you mentioned food because it kind of ties in. Obviously, it's late at night. I'm having a Sapporo. You're having, what are you drinking? Some whiskey?
Yeah, I'm drinking a little bit of Maker's Mark.
Oh, nice. Good for you. Very, pretty good. Yeah, because I wasn't going to, and I've been like trying to stick to a diet. And then I was like, well, what's the point? I'm going to get sliced open and have a piece of my anatomy removed. I'm going to be in absolute fucking agony. So what is the point in like, oh, I'm not having a beer tonight. And let's keep on a low carb keto diet, because the reality of the situation is I'm not going to be moving for quite some time. I'm certainly not going to be working out for a very, very long time. So it's like, oh, whatever. Let's just go with it, baby.
Devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate.
Maybe because you are not going to be able to exercise, you should have an even more strict diet. So you
Devil's advocate?
Well, yeah, but Devil's please, advocate. The floor is yours.
Okay, all right. Well, it's funny you bring that up, Lewis, because I remember a conversation I had with my dentist, my fucking surgeon, and he told me this because... obviously, with the numerous amounts of ailments over the years that I've had and the massive amounts of surgeries that I'd never talk about. I mean, I don't like to get into it. They're my issues and I'll deal with it. I've spoken to him many times and I said to him last time when I had it done, I said, oh shit, I don't want that, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to put on so much weight. He said, you're not going to put weight on. He said, if anything, you're going to lose weight. He said, because on all the different medications you're going to be on, you're going to have no appetite. And it's true. It's true. I lost weight last time. So all you really? People out there that are massively overweight, that you think hope is lost. No. All you're going to do is fuck your knee up so bad, right? I get somebody to just like drive over your leg. You'll need a knee replacement. Go into the hospital. You're going to come out 30 pounds lighter. You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
Devil's advocate. Devil's advocate. Why don't you just give them the list of the drugs that you're on that killed your appetite? They can get them off the Mexican black market or the dark
Rebecca,
web.
Get the drugs. Get the drug case. Get the drugs. We got the drugs already, baby boy. Woohoo! We're starting early tonight. Let's go.
I might come out to California in the next couple of weeks.
Get on the next flight, baby boy. We'll just be coming up by this point. See all kinds of shit.
But we gotta do a trip out there. I think now's the time, you know, guys? When Bisping has just a complete...
Now's
surplus
not the time. Now's not the time. No, but so I'm going to try and lose weight through this because I'm going to have no appetite. And I said to Rebecca, even when I do have a tablet, keep it keto, you know, for the next few weeks. So I want to look like, what's it called? Christian Bale in The Machinist by the end of it. Super skinny and like six-packed, ripped to bits. It's going to be crazy. You won't recognize me, Lewis.
When are you going to be able to be on your feet, sort of moving around a little bit again?
Well, okay, let's go through this. Last time I had the knee replacement, a week later, I had to fly to Texas for the weekend, which wasn't ideal. And then when I got back, I had one day at home and I had to fly to London to open some UFC gyms. And then I was back for 3 days and I had to fly to Uruguay to commentate for the UFC. So it wasn't an ideal scenario. So long story short, yeah, I'll be able to get about on crutches. I will be working. I've just had a few weeks off with the UFC, but I will be going back to work.
No, I'm not crutches. I'm talking about like moving around, possibly holding pads for a young, hungry fighter that's got a fight coming up.
I mean, if it was somebody with real force and venom on the pads, I can't do that. I can't have those vibrations coming down their arms through my svelte, very, very ripped chest, down the legs. It's by the leg bones connected to the elbow bone to the shoulder bone, so on and so forth.
That's how the song goes.
The neck bone's connected to the fucking ribs, okay?
That's the name of the podcast, the leg bone's connected to the arm bone.
Anyway, point of the matter is, heaven forbid, if I was holding Mike Tyson, the reverberations, the vibrations that I would feel would cause me great pain. But if, however, it was somebody with the punching power of a 7-year-old girl, I could do that. So you're asking when I can hold pads for you.
Yes.
Pretty fast. It's pretty fast.
Probably while you're getting the surgery.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, don't worry, doc. He's good. He's been sanitized. He hasn't got COVID. He's good. Don't worry about it. Jab, jab, cross. Jab, jab, cross. I only need one hand, doc. You're right. Just slice me open.
Ah, shit. Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Anyway, we got Aljamain Sterling joining us in a little bit. He had a big fight announcement at the weekend. Looks like he's going to be fighting for the title. I am having my surgery. You know, I'm underway to prepare for that, Lewis. The preparation, it's pretty crazy. I'm going to wash my body twice a day, 5 days before, in Hibi Cleanse, whatever that is, some kind of fancy soap. I'm going to stick some like weird stuff up my nose to clean out bacteria in my nose. What else have I got to do, Beck? That's it? All right, that's it. That's it. He's gonna complain
about it over and over and over again for the next 5 days.
I tell you what, this preparation for surgery is insane. Got to shower once a day. It's fucking wild.
Wow.
You really made me look bad there, Rebecca, by the way. Don't say I'm not doing the nose stuff. Oh, no, it's okay. This will come out after the surgery. That's fine. The doctor won't hear it.
Real quick, Mike, we should thank Manscaped, manscaped.com, for their incredible support of this show. Manscaped's awesome, dude. Okay. I'll be crude about it. It's a ball trimmer. Okay. If you want to shave downstairs, this is what they've made. They've made the best, safest, most high tech, incredible shaver for your junk. The way the women want it, they don't want it shaved with like a Bic. That's weird. Okay. It's not an 80s porn star look. They like it to be trimmed, neat. This is what Manscaped has. They have an incredible trimmer. They have the different sizes that you can put onto it, the attachments, so you could do the different lengths that you like. But it is so safe. I'll tell you right now, when I've done it with a razor, you know how many times I've cut myself shaving downstairs? It's absolutely awful. I've had hair clippers that have done the same thing. You nick yourself. It's horrible. Manscaped, it's safe. It's nearly impossible to nick yourself. You can do it in the shower. It's waterproof. It really is an incredible product.
Yeah, listen, I mean, what did you call it at the start? You were very crude, a ball shaver. Yeah, ball shaver. Listen, let's call it the product what it is. If it was a manhood scaper, there you go, that might even be a better name, or a ball shaver. Listen, you just said it. This is the third version, right? So it gets better each and every single time. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, a more precise trim area. You know, as
I like
you
to
said,
shave in the dark.
I like to shave in the dark, but there's a way for you to see. You will look like some kind of figurine from Star Wars. You'll be glowing up in the light. They'll think, what's this guy doing? It's like, oh, he's shaving his balls in the dark. Of course, that's the way everybody shaves their balls. Fortunately, you can take it in the shower. It is waterproof, and the new battery lasts up to 90 minutes. So if you've got one hell of a bush down there that you think might take an hour and a half, this motherfucker will see the job through from start until the finish. They've also got an upgraded 7,000 rev per minute motor with quiet stroke technology, and let's not forget about the
quiet stroke technology. Sounds a little bit weird. You're in the bathroom using quiet stroke technology
on your balls. What are you doing? I have nothing to see here. I'm quietly stroking. No, listen, and let's not forget about the charging stand either, right? Show off your mower loud and proud. Basically, this is an intelligently designed stand, and it is a convenient way of charging your Manscaped. Now, listen, if you're listening to me speak right now, you want to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim the junk off yours and get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code Bisping. Okay, that's all you got to do. When you want to shave your balls and your penis, my name is synonymous with that. Yeah. I'm the code. If you want to shave your balls, you want to trim your shaft, you want to get baby smooth around your genitalia, think of the name Bisping.
Yeah, type if you're thinking in the hairy word, balls, you're thinking Bisping.
Yes, but if you think you want to shave them in a way that will not, you know, leave you with scars and cuts and bruises and stingy things when you get into the shower. Yeah, it fucking hurts. Let's just be honest. Let's cut to the chase. If you've ever nicked your balls, I've done it. I've done it many times. It fucking hurts. It hurts like a bitch. Listen, go to manscaped.com. Use the code Bisping, 20% off and free shipping. Your balls will thank you. Your wife will thank you. And you will thank me. There you go. Let's get back into it. Manscaped.com. Code is Bisping. Where were we?
We did ask the fans to send in a bunch of, and we have a bunch of questions. So why don't we go to Aljamain Sterling here in a second? Okay. Let's do plugs. Let's get those out of the way real quick. Then we'll go to Aljamain. Then we'll come back. We have a bunch of questions. We got a little bit of time left here. This very special presentation of the Believe in Me podcast.
It's very special. But I gotta say,
by the way, Bisping could be dead if he dies under the knife, right? Which it happens. That does actually happen.
Whoa, why would you put that evil out there into the universe?
I'm just saying it happens. What are the chances, Brian? Look that up.
People fucking die, Lewis. Okay, I know you think this is funny, sitting there, Gas Digital Studios or wherever the fuck you are, New Jersey, New York, one of the news. Okay, right, speculating that I might die. I'm a father of three. Okay, have a bit of respect, please.
Yeah, I got that. Brian just sent me a DM saying you leave for the interview, which is kind of funny.
Can I just say, Can we just discuss this real fast? Isn't it annoying when the messages come and you're trying to read them? And it, you notice that you've always got something to say, but you went,
well, you know, usually...
You have a brain fart, and Harrington is telling me something I already know, usually. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I know, Harrington. In fact, I told you. I text that to you last night, Harrington. Don't tell me when I'm mid-flow of an anecdote.
Usually I can ignore it. Usually it's like Harrington will say something. It'll be relevant. It'll be like a piece of news or whatever it is, right? Okay. And I can ignore it. But Brian, just now in very real time, because I said, oh, we got Aljamain Sterling coming on, because I wasn't thinking in the moment that I'm not a part of that interview because we did pre-tape it. So Brian told me that. And in real time, you watched me go, oh, yeah, fuck.
Well, without further ado, then, let's go to fucking Aljamain Sterling. I mean, we've talked about it. We've wrapped it up for long enough.
Real quick, even before we do that, real quick, you love the show. Go subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. We love the great comments, all that other stuff. Subscribe on YouTube. The entire On Demand library available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. And if you want to join the conversation at any time, please send us emails, fan art, or anything else at bympod@gmail.com. Here it is. I'm going to go take a break, as they say.
No, you're going to get out the way. Okay,
get out the way.
You're going to get out the way. You're going to let the big boys talk. We're talking Aljamain Sterling. He's going to be fine for the belt. Okay, this guy's a legend of the game.
I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's the truth.
Yeah. All right, without further ado, Aljamain, let's go. All right, Aljamain Sterling, live from what looks to be your kitchen. Where are you? You're still in Vegas, right?
I'm still in Vegas. I just bought a house. This is my new casa.
Shit, no way. You're living in Vegas?
Yep. Just bought a house here the week after Weidman's fight. So I closed when Merab fought. I want to say it was Wednesday of Merab's fight.
Oh, nice. Well, congratulations, first of all, moving to Vegas. That's a big move for you.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. Taxes in New York are crazy.
Taxes in California are also crazy. It's a pain in the ass. Yeah, so no, smart for you. Do you know what? It's funny because when you said you were in Vegas, I was trying to figure out who you might have been cornering last night. And I'm like, fuck, I don't think he was cornering anybody. But now, of course, it all makes sense. So you bought a house in Vegas. You're still going to be training with the guys up in Long Island?
Yeah, for sure. I did corner last night with Mizuki anyway. She fought Amanda Lemos.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. I missed that fight. I missed the prelims. How are you, buddy? Listen, big news. Last night, it broke. It looks like finally you're getting your title shot. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I was excited to finally get the news that I'm being rewarded with the shot that I earned last year. You know, so it was nice for Dana to finally... Although it was reluctant for him to say, finally to say it, that I was the next guy in line. I think, and I called this from before, that they were waiting for the Frank Yeager fight to see how that goes to kind of catapult him into that space. But, you know, I don't like to see anyone lose or anything like that. That's not my style to say, like, I wish that guy loses. But it was better for me if Pedro did win. And that performance, I think, kind of kept me in my spot, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you can't deny, you know, the resume of Frankie Edgar, but the reality is that's his first fight in that weight class. You've been down there for years. You're on a 5-fight win streak in your last fight. What was it, like a minute 13 or something? You tapped him out. And so, you know, there's no denying that you are the next man in line, but you were campaigning pretty hard, talking shit to Piotr Jan. So you finally got your fight. Any idea when the date is?
No, I was hearing rumblings that December might work out better for him. And actually that works out better for me too. So the more time, the better. I'm still recovering this little wrist of mine. Not recovering, but trying to get a little bit more range of motion out of it. I mean, it's as strong as it probably is ever going to be at this point. But I let it get damaged so much over those past 4 years that this is just what I'm left with from all the arthritis and the torn cartilage.
Bro, look at my wrist. Look at that thing there, that big lump that sticks up for some reason. But yours still looks swollen.
Yeah, everyone says that. It's just a lot of stuff in there. And we're thinking about going back in it, but honestly, with the title shot, I mean, I was able to fight Sanhagen with, I don't want to say one hand, but I mean, I think all fighters are injured, you know, so it's who's better in that day. So the title shot's now here, so now I'm just gonna have to sack up and get it done.
So of course, when you look at Piotr Jan, he had a great fight against Jose Aldo. You know, he's good, right? I know he's your competition right now, but you know, credit where credit's due. The man is very good. I think he's only got one loss on his record. I don't know where to start. I mean, how do you break down this fight? What do you think your strengths are, all that stuff? One would assume that it's going to be a pretty wrestling-heavy game plan, but I don't know. How are you going to approach this fight?
I think I have, obviously, the wrestler in my back pocket, and I kind of look at Khabib. And even that new guy, Chimaev, it's like, why I get away from what got you to the show? And I kind of got away from that in the past few fights. Yeah, my wrist was torn with the ligament, but I could have forced the issue a little bit more to get the guys on the ground with Jimmy Rivera, even Cody Stamen, which I eventually got him down, but even Brett Johns, and who was the other one? Pedro Munhoz. You know, so I look at those performances, and I do think if I got those guys to the ground, that fight's over within a couple of minutes of that transaction. So I don't think it's a secret that I'm going to be looking to take Petr Yan down. That's my world. I know he's tough on the feet. He's got a lot of good weapons in the clinch. He's got good knees. He's got good elbows. And he sits down on his punches a lot. And I think that's going to be the difference. I think for me, I had the speed advantage, and I could pick apart kind of what I did with Pedro Munhoz. And that's going to leave a lot of openings for me to get into the takedown situation. I know he's bringing in guys, but it's a difference when you're in there going live and you're fighting and a guy is trying to smash you with elbows. So the thing with Corey Sandhagen, he wasn't able to defend the choke. So I got the choke pretty early, but the next thing to come after that, I don't get the choke. I'm transitioning the mount, and you could go out that way with the ground pound. So it really just depends on him. I do think the fight's going to hit the ground at least once, probably a little more than that, because I do think he's going to be able to get back up a couple of times.
You know, you said a second ago, said you want to stay with what your strengths are. You know, obviously you came to the UFC as a well-rounded fighter, but the wrestling was always your strong point. And I often say this on this show, and I wonder what you think of it, because often you see wrestlers, they come to the UFC and then they get a couple of knockouts, they start cracking people. You know, it feels fucking good when you connect with a good shot. And it's also a lot less effort to crack somebody in the face as opposed to pushing them up against the fence, picking them up, wrestling them, taking them down, fucking holding them there, then making it worth your while, maybe finding a submission. Punching them in the face is a hell of a lot easier. And do you think, in your opinion, that is kind of the reason why you see wrestlers, you know, kind of abandoning the wrestling a little bit? I mean, it's always there as a threat, but you do see a lot of guys, as I said, when you get success with the hands, they kind of go out there and look for a striking match.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing. I don't want to keep referencing this guy, but Khabib, you know, you go back to him and you hear father's plan, you know, you fall in love with the striking a little bit. You start to feel comfortable in the feet, but then you leave yourself a little bit more vulnerable in a situation where you might not have the most experience. You might feel comfortable there, but the other guy might just be a little notch above you in that department. And you could do one little thing wrong and that could be the end of the night, or you could be battling back from trying to survive to keep the ref from stopping the fight. I do plan on striking and exchanging with this guy for sure. Like I said, I think I'm the faster guy. I think I'll be able to get off my strikes and get in and get out. And I think he had some trouble with John Dodson, when he fought Merab, I didn't think he was all that fast after watching that fight, cage side. And you saw the fight with Uriah Faber. I thought Uriah Faber, as much as of the steps he has lost with the speed department and age, I still think he gave him a pretty good competitive fight up until he got caught with that 1-2 switching to the cross from the southpaw position that sat him on his butt. So I do think there are things that I can take from teachable moments, and I think it's going to help aid me to get my hand raised. Man, I'm super pumped about this fight because I know it's a dangerous fight, and I was talking a lot of shit, but that's just the banter that I've always had from the very beginning of my career, and even from high school and middle school, we just talk shit. You know, that's just what we grew up with, ball busters. You know, I'm from Long Island. So if you can't take a joke, don't come in a room with the Sarah Longo boys because we're gonna come after you. So it's all fun and games. At the end of the day, I respect Petr Yan's skills, but I'm going to have to do my job and beat that ass.
Yeah, this is what I tell people all the time because obviously, you know, I talked a lot of shit back in the day and people, you know, they talk about trash talk and all this type of stuff, which I fucking detest that term, trash talk. I'm not a fucking 12-year-old and I'm not talking trash. I'm a grown-ass man. I'm going to fight somebody. We're going to punch each other. We're going to beat the shit out of one another. And in the meantime, between now and then, I'm going to talk shit about you because you're going to try and fuck me up in front of the entire world. So it's all fair game. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you're going to fight. And if you trash talk, if you talk shit and you can get into their head a little bit and make them doubt themselves a little bit, then you've got an advantage before the fight even starts.
I agree 1,000%. Even look at a guy like Conor, you look at O'Malley, even though he just lost his last one. But when these guys start talking about, oh, I'm going to knock this guy out, I'm going to sleep him in one, and your opponent starts to think about that. And now you start thinking like, wow, really? Can this really happen to me? So now you got to think about the scenarios, and now you're starting to have a little bit of doubt creeping in your head, which we all have already to begin with. You know, we all contemplate how much training did we put in? Was it enough? Did we do the right things? Now you got this guy talking so confidently, it kind of makes you second guess what you did leading up to the fight. So for me, it's like, it makes me train harder. Because if I talk that shit, I got to back it up. So I know when I get to the room, I'm like, yeah, I call him Paper Jan. So now I got to work my ass up because I got to really prove now that he's the paper champ. And I'm the real champ by beating Corey Sandhagen. So I get it, man. And it makes it more interesting. I could go watch a fight down the street. But now when I got a little bit of history behind it, I think people are more inclined to want to tune in. People say, oh, this, respect that. At the end of the day, there's nothing respectful about punching somebody in the face and trying to knock them out on international TV. Nothing. So I don't care what nobody says. As long as you're not talking about family, religion, and the wives and stuff like that, then yep. You know everything else is fair game, in my opinion.
100% totally agree. So, okay, then on that note, and don't take this the wrong way, if I'm Piotr Jan, right, and we're at the press conference, which you're going to have a press conference, first thing I'm doing is saying, remember when Sergio Moraes knocked you out or something like that. I can't do a Piotr Jan fucking impression, but that's what he's going to say to you, right? And of course, you understand, you've been around this long enough, right? Fucking, it happens. You get caught with a shot, you know. But what would your response be to that?
Honestly, I haven't really gave it that much thought, but if I had to think on the fly, it's like, look at your performances versus mine. You haven't beat anyone in the top five at all. You know, you could talk about the Jose Aldo fight, but he lost to Marlon Moraes. Vayner said he won the fight. What has he really done to really catapult him in this division? You beat Uriah Faber. You won a biscuit for that. You know, so at the end of the day, it's a fist fight. We're going to have to get in there and mix it up and figure it out that way. So he can say whatever he wants about Marlon Moraes. We're not talking about 2017. We're talking about 2020. Yep. And right now, it's scrap season.
Yep. No, absolutely. Okay, so you're 31. Yeah, 31? 31, yep. 6 years in the UFC. Feels to me like this is the perfect time for you to fight for the belt, right? I know you wanted to fight for it earlier. And just like in my career, I wanted to fight, you know, I wanted to fight Anderson Silva when he was the champ. But if I'm honest, looking back at that moment in time, if I'd have got that fight, like I had a few number one contenders, which I lost. But if I'd have won those at that time, I probably would have got beaten. You know what I mean? I wasn't ready. I didn't have the right coaches. I wasn't working with Jason Perillo. And my mind wasn't right. Do you feel that for you now, this is the perfect time for you to go in there and become champion of the world?
Yeah, 1,000%. I feel like right now in my mental space that this is the best in terms of my fight IQ, in terms of my physical peak. I feel like this is the best I've ever felt and the most confident I've ever been in my skills and my ability. I know if I take someone down, I don't care what size you are. Even like I train with Chris, he knows if I get on his back, it's a problem, you know? So I'm comfortable in my skin and what I'm able to accomplish and what I'm able to do inside the octagon. So I think that it could have been a perfect time. I could have taken a title fight if I had earned it when I fought Brian Caraway. If I had won that fight, I would probably more than likely have gotten a shot against Cruz back then. But I came short, and I think that goes back to show me that there were teachable moments that I still need to learn. Not training three times on the day of your fight. You know, that was a big teachable moment for me, and it really made me step back and realize once you fight and you go through the training camp, the work is done. You're not going to gain anything by doing three workouts a couple of hours before your fight. So I think I've learned a ton through the losses. Rafael Sunstall, not listening to the critics talking about I don't have stand-up and trying to show that I can stand up and fight instead of mixing in my takedowns until the third round. You know, so I learned a ton. Even the Marlon Moraes fight, I completely disrespected Marlon, and I got what I deserved, in my opinion. I overlooked him. I didn't study any tape, and I think ultimately that came back to bite me in the ass. So it was a short-notice fight, to be fair, but it is what it is. At the end of the day, he threw the kick. Whether or not it was intentional to that he thought I was going to shoot or not, it landed. It put me out. And here I am today. I feel like this has – all those losses have helped shape me to who I am today. The wins are always great. It's always great to win, get both checks. But I think where I'm at now, I think I'm a hard man to beat. Even if I would decide to go up to 45, I think I'm a hard man to beat.
Yeah, we certainly look like one. So, of course, Dana just said that last night. You won't even have a bout agreement yet or anything like that. We'll talk again, hopefully, nearer the time of the fight. So when we were texting earlier, and I thought you were still on the East Coast. I'm like, oh, my bad. Can we do like 8:30, which would have been 11:30? You're like, no, I'm in Vegas. I'm like, oh, shit. And then you said, I'm just leaving the pool, the Mandalay Bay, and then I'm going to have top golfing with your chick later. I'm like, number one, this guy lives a fucking amazing life. I'm stuck here with three fucking kids. You're out. You're at the beach, you go into the golf, but what's the situation in Vegas? Because the last time I was there, none of that shit was open. So is it somewhat kind of normal now?
I wouldn't call it normal, but it's half capacity. That's what they're trying to do. If you're walking around, you have to wear your mask. You go into the bathroom, you have to wear your mask. If as soon as you sit down, you can take the mask off. Some places are like, you have to have a drink in your hand or you have to be in the pool in order to take your mask off. So the rules are very like day by day. They change pretty much by the hour. At least that's what it feels like. I was halfway in the pool. The guy told me I couldn't have my mask off unless I was drinking. So I had a drink in my hand. He didn't see the drink. So I shake it. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, I'm supposed to go in the pool with my mask. So I don't know. It's really nice for sure. Topgolf is kind of similar with the same thing. So we're going to do that later tonight. And I got to work on my golf swing. My wrist won't allow me to get full extension on the pullback on my backswing. So I've actually been hitting lefty, and I've actually been doing a little bit better with the lefty swing than my right, which is very weird. But that's the situation here in Vegas. So hopefully things open up so we can actually enjoy our lives at some point. At some point, something's got to give. You know, there's only so much that the camera can take before it breaks its back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I was going to ask you, are you much of a golfer? But you sound like you know what you're talking about. I know nothing about golf, okay? Fighting with one eye was hard enough. Playing golf with one eye, it's just not fucking happening. And plus, I always sucked anyway. But you sound like you're a bit of a golf enthusiast.
I just got into it. Chris kind of helped get me into it a little bit too. So we've been playing a little bit, and I've been going to the driving range a lot. It's really fun, man. And I would like to actually do like one pro-am tournament. I think it would be a huge accomplishment. I'm not saying I'm going to win, but it'll be fun to do something different outside of fighting and doing podcasts and training at the gym. You know, just to break up the monotony, I think that would be something cool to aspire to, not just, you know, I want to be the best in the world. I'm not saying I want to be the best in the world at golf, but to be competitive, make business deals on the golf course, I think it'd actually be a pretty fun thing.
No, it sounds like a nice life. I remember, well, you just mentioned something there, you know, wanting to do extra things. And last time we were speaking on the plane when you were flying back from Albuquerque, I think it was, you know, you were talking about wanting to do all these different types of things. How long do you think you'll carry on fighting for? I mean, I'm assuming right now, fuck me, you got a world title fight on your hands. So you're all in on that. But do you think about life after fighting?
You have to. I think it's naive if you don't. You know, I'm not saying you need to worry about setting everything up right in the moment of your prime and things like that. But for me, I kind of started doing that probably 4 years ago, you know? So I just try to lay the bricks for the foundation for the future. And so far so good. I got three houses, doing my podcast, the weekly scraps, and I teach at the gym. So I don't know if I want to be a coach. Maybe I'll just be like Dean Thomas and kind of just train people, buy a house, have my own training facility, have people flying in, you know, if they want to work with me, that type of thing, and do it that way. So I'm not committed to a gym and have to be there full time to run a whole facility, because that's a whole commitment in itself. And you know, I don't have kids yet. I would love to in the near future, and I want to be there for my kids. You know, so I think about all these things. Fighting has been a blessing. I'm sure you can attest to that. And being able to make this type of money at this level, you got to obviously keep winning. You got to stay relevant, doing all the things outside of the octagon. But to be able to set everything up and provide, I think it's huge. And as long as you're doing the right things with your money, I think this move to Vegas is going to be huge for me, saving on taxes. That's money I could sock away from my kids' bank account. And by the time they're born and when they get of age, man, they're going to have something that I never had growing up. And that's you're starting at an equal playing field as opposed to being behind the mark with everybody else. You know, I know a lot of people in the hood, man, we don't have savings accounts. We don't have both our parents growing up with and things like that. So I'm trying to break the cycle, and I'm thinking about retiring. I could see myself retiring in the near future, probably 2 or 3 years at the most. I told myself 32, but now that I'm here, I still feel good. If I start to feel like I'm slowing down or not feeling like I could take strikes the way I used to, I'm going to have that serious conversation and really be honest with myself. You know, I just don't want to be one of those guys who hangs around a little bit too long chasing that glory if I accomplish everything I need to accomplish.
Yeah, everything changes though once you get that belt. Once you start making those pay-per-view points, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's I see a lot of people, man. Chris, I know Sarah, yourself. I talk to a lot of people, DC, John Jones, and I can imagine it's a nice life, you know. Once you sit on top of that throne, so I'm just hoping I don't get addicted to that, you know. I think I'm pretty content with life. If I would get injured and I couldn't fight no more, I think I'm pretty happy with what I accomplished. Knock on wood, but you know, at the end of the day, these are all just things, you know. It's nice to have nice things. It's always nice.
It is, but it's not really what's important in life. Of course, exactly. You want to set a legacy. You're not going through all this hard work, determination, and sacrifice for nothing, right? I mean, of course, you know, you haven't got children yet, but you got a wife, you know, and you know, you want it to mean something. You don't just want to do it for the sake of winning a fight and looking cool, right? You want it to mean something. You want to build yourself up and be able to give the life, as you said, to your family when the children comes. That's why, you know, you're very smart doing it now. Because I was lucky, right? I had the eye injury. So I always thought, you know, my career was about to finish at any second. So I was always using my platform that I had when I was a professional fighter to open as many doors. Because when you retire, when you're an old, washed up fucking ex-UFC fighter, no one's interested. If you're not fucking current, when you're the champ, fuck me, things happen. I won the belt on Monday morning. I had 3 movie offers. You know what I'm saying? I lost the belt, one of those movies that I was guaranteed in. The fucking producer never responded to my emails again. I lost the belt and that was it. No more movie. So obviously we haven't even got a date for the fight. Hopefully you'll come and join us again nearer the time. But for the time being, we'll let you go. Go and enjoy the golf. And thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thanks for having me. And hopefully I can get my foot back into the TV world, man. I did the 50 Cent show for life.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I did that with Jay Hyron. We did a couple of stunt roles and stuff like that. And they said they will get me back in, but I know I don't want to be a pest and have to keep bothering those guys. Like, hey, man, I'm here. So as long as you
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do, buddy. You know what I mean? You just got to be that guy. You got to be, you know, like the same way you want to be successful in the fight world, if you're trying to get into that world, which I'm still trying to do that. Yeah, I've had a couple of bits of work here and there, but it's a challenge. It's fucking hard. It's a grind. Just like the same way as us trying to claw to the top of the mixed martial arts world, the entertainment world, that's a grind as well.
Yeah, I saw the one you just did. What was that one called with the big guy? Was like a fight scene, it looked like.
Oh, yeah, no, Warrior. Yeah, it hasn't aired just yet, but... Fingers crossed soon. But Aljo, we'll let you go. Enjoy the golf. Have a beer for me, and we'll talk soon.
I will. Thank you, guys.
There we are, the great Aljamain Sterling.
Yes, great is correct. You know what I mean? It's funny because we talked to him, Lewis. I was asking him, you know, does he feel that this is the right time? Because I was always trying to be a champion of the world, always trying to fight for the belt or just get a title fight, you know. And I told him that had I got mine earlier, I probably would have been too early and I wouldn't have been ready, you know. So as they say, everything happens for a reason, but this is his first title fight. And I'm telling you, against Peter Yan, I think he's got a really, really good chance of winning that, you know. So still early days. Fight day isn't even announced yet. He said he will come on and join us near the time. So we'll look forward to that. So thank you, cool. Aljamain, for joining us. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from CBDMD.com. Listen, you know the deal. CBD is everywhere. Nothing to do with getting high. All about health benefits, reducing inflammation, making you feel better, helping you get a good night's sleep, relieving anxiety, tension, whatever it is. Lewis, you look like you need to fucking release some anxiety. What's going on, buddy?
I'll tell you right now, the only reason I can survive through this move is because I've been using CBDMD. First of all, my foot's all fucked, okay? As I'm moving by boxes today, of course, I banged my foot 3 more times. So I've been rubbing the CBD freeze all over my foot all morning. It's the only thing that's keeping me surviving. Honestly, my anxiety is through the roof. CBD is one of the best things in the world that you can use for anxiety. And I smoke, a lot of people understand this. I smoke weed. So people are like, oh, why don't you just smoke weed? If I'm smoking weed, I'm going to get baked. I'm going to get tired. By the time I have to do work, I want to fall asleep. CBD doesn't give me that effect.
Doesn't give you that effect. It puts your body in homeostasis. Go and Google that. Basically, just makes everything work right. And as I say, if you want a good night's sleep, the CBD MD PM, that will knock you out every time. You'll sleep like a baby. You'll have beautiful, glorious dreams. And you'll wake up feeling refreshed the next morning. They got the Revive. That's amazing. The Recover. That sounds like a good one for you, Lewis. We said this last time. Put the Freeze on. And then before you go to bed, put the Recover on. I guarantee you wake up like a new man. CBDMD.com offers the best quality quality CBD on the market. That's what you want, right? Everywhere there's CBD, every man and their dog is trying to get in on the CBD act. But you want the good stuff. That's what CBDMD gives. It also gives it at the best price per milligram. So there you go. And it's all raised, farmed inside the USA, all organic, non-GMO, all that good stuff. And raised in the USA if you're a good old American boy. So listen, here we go. We got a great offer for you. All you got to do, check it out. Go to CBDMD.com. Take a look at the website. Mass variety of products, mass web ways to ingest your CBD. Also got some pretty cool merchandise as well. So go to CBDMD.com, check out the range. And then when you get to checkout, use the code BYM20. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping possibly. Or maybe not. Maybe yeah. I'm wrong on that one.
Free shipping on all US orders and a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't like it, fuck it. Send it back.
30 days, use 3/4 of the bottle, say this shit doesn't work, send it back. Don't tell them I said that though. But I'm kidding, of course, CBDMD.com. You're going to love it. You're going to enjoy the products and you will get relief. But use that code BYM20 at checkout. All right, where were we? Brian, question heavy show. We have said, we have billed this as a question show. Please tell me, for the love of God, we have some questions.
Well, I got 3 video questions, and from what I understand, you guys have a bunch from Twitter, so hopefully yes. We won't disappoint people. This first one is from Chad.
Oh, no, hold on, stop. Can I say one thing before you play the tape?
Sure.
Brian, I got to say, I prefer you with the hair down.
All right, next time I come up.
I was not expecting that to be what this being
said. Brian, I prefer you with the hair down. I mean, listen, you look great. As we have established, you could destroy Luis J. Gomez.
Fuck right up.
Are you going to destroy
a different weight class than me.
I'll light Brian up. I will.
There's a reason why there is weight classes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but listen, what are you, heavier or lighter?
Luis has like 50 pounds on me.
How's your weight, Brian?
But you have the athleticism, let's be honest.
Pounds?
Yeah, no, I have about 32 pounds on you.
Yeah, but still, right. Well, I would fuck up half of the heavyweight roster, okay? Granted, I am a heavyweight these days.
Bisping, name names. Give me 3 heavyweights that you would beat in the UFC right now that you think Tim you could
Sylvia.
Legitimately beat.
Tim Sylvia, Hall of Famer.
No, he's not in the UFC. And he's not a Hall of Famer.
He's an old age pensioner. No, I don't know. I would. But anyway, Brian, you know, it's a little tip. That when I look at you and that hair's down.
Yeah, pull it up, Brian. Jesus Christ.
Just
what
let
are you
it
doing?
Go. Go on. All go right. Around, like you're just in a Vidal Sassoon commercial.
Oh, man. You guys
shake the head.
Just pouring
shake,
me out.
Shake the head.
Wow.
I don't know. Can you guys see me?
Look at that. Where was that? I don't know about you, Luis, but I'm aroused.
Yeah,
my wife's laughing in the background, but listen, it is what it is. 2020, baby. I live in California.
I don't even need a blue chew. That just, Brian, can you clip that moment and just send that to me so I can keep it on my phone?
Yeah, sure, it's a screensaver. Just like you just.
I can just do it for you live whenever you want. You pay me.
I love it.
I like it, Brian. Anyway, her aside, and as gorgeous as you are, let's play the first question.
Hey guys, Chad Nguyen here from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. On episode 246, you guys talked about the top heavyweight list and how DC wasn't on there. Where would he be ranked on that list if he beat John Jones? And also, the welterweight division, why aren't the top 5 welterweights calling out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson? Are they afraid to getting their ass kicked by a karate boy?
I gotta be honest with you, Bisping.
Okay. Whoa. Our friend from Manitoba is a very nice guy. Okay, he's just finished his shift working as, what do we think he works as?
Just a water boy.
Maybe a water boy. Maybe a server at, I don't know.
An autistic restaurant.
No, what? Be nice to our guest. He just finished his shift at Best Buy looking by his shirt.
He does look like a greeter at Best Buy. Yeah.
What was his question? So DC wasn't on the list. By the way, I did say this on the list. And thank you for the question. And as you know, we always bust the balls of whoever asks. So
if you send in a video of yourself, we're going to make fun of the way you look. Okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it was more the way he sounded for me.
No, he looked like he was missing a chromosome or two.
Whoa, he sounded great. No. Brian, edit that bit out.
No.
Shake your hair while you do it, please. Listen, no, that's nasty. That's what's called nasty. There's having fun, There's a line. You don't cross the line. There's a line there.
The line. Josh,
appearance, the way he talks, maybe no. The shirt. Mental health. You're stepping over that line.
No, he's not mentally handicapped.
He has a chromosome missing. No. It's you're a habitual line stepper, motherfucker.
I am. And hey, look, where's that line? It's right back there, baby boy. And let me tell you something.
Habitual fucking line stepper, motherfucker Lewis.
That guy, he's not mentally handicapped. His face just looks it. So you cannot not point that out. We would be doing a disservice to the fan base. The fucking elephant in the room is that this guy has sort of a Downsy looking face. No. It just is.
I'm not laughing. I'm in shock. He's not, sir. Brian, bring him back up. Play the question again. But he does not have a Downsy. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Listen, you save that for the Legion of Skanks.
Hey, guys.
He does.
Canada. On episode 246, you guys talked about the top heavyweight list and how DC wasn't on there.
He
has a great voice. He sounds like he could be in radio. He's very intelligent. I'm just looking at his face. What do you want me to say?
I want to say that you're a prick. Okay? I'm just going to leave it out there. I'm on a crusade to defend the believers, okay? You're just trying to tear this show down, Lewis. I see what you're doing, okay?
Fine.
There can only be one.
You're right. That guy's a fucking prom
king. Legion of Skanks. You're fucking threatened by us, Lewis. You're threatened by me and the believers. Our friend here from Manitoba, right? He's the best looking guy in Manitoba. Do you know that? He has a sash that says, and he wears it regularly, best looking guy in Manitoba, okay? And he compliments the shirt, the blue, just perfectly.
All right, fine. I know. I'm crazy. Everyone knows I'm right.
Apologize. Please. Apologize, please.
I will not apologize.
All right. Okay, should we answer the question?
Fine.
I forgot what the question was.
I don't even know what the question was.
Hey, Brian, smoking a cigarette.
Brian, the puppet master.
Brian just jerked off his releasing. Let's play that bit again. Shake the hair. Woo, baby, baby, baby.
Shit. All right, what was the question?
Can I go?
Now, what was Brian going to say? What were we going to say, Brian?
He wanted to know where you would rank DC in the top heavyweights of all time if you beat John Jones. And he also wants to know why you think no one's calling out Stephen Thompson.
Well, number one, that list, as I was going to say before, was from Bleacher Report. We were just not plagiarizing because I made that clear at the time, just going through one of their lists. Listen, DC is one of the best heavyweights. Simple as that. He's not the best, unfortunately. Right now, that would belong to Stipe or some of the other greats that were mentioned on that list. But DC's one of them, for sure. DC, pardon me, Sir Popo, is one of them, for sure. Why are no people calling out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson? Good question. Why? Because he's a tough fight. He's a tough fight. He's stylistically, excuse me, I can't stop burping. That's the problem with beer, man. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to do a show here and I can't stop belching into the microphone. I sound like fucking Howard Stern. I apologize. But if I have 1% of the followers of Howard Stern, I'd be living in a full mansion. Anyway, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is a very tough nut to crack and he doesn't have a belt. So therefore, harness the good energy, block the bad. Stay away from Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Go for Kamaru Usman. Stay away from Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Call out Kamaru Usman. Usman?
But isn't like almost because Stephen...
Masvidal. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just feel like if you beat Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, it's almost like a fast track to the title, is it not?
But then you get beat, potentially, by a guy that hasn't got the belt. You see what I'm saying? There's a risk and reward. Now, of course, if you truly believe, if you're a badass and you're not a badass, if you're a legit contender and you believe that you're world champion material, you believe you're the best in the world, then that's what you do. You take an all comers. You're like, fuck it. If I can't beat them, I don't deserve to be the champion. But also, if you're trying to play it smart, which you do want to play it smart because, like, for example, I remember Kendall Grove, and I'm sorry to go off on a tangent here. Kendall Grove on the Ultimate Fighter 3. When we were on there, there was a contender called Caleb Starnes. Caleb Starnes ended up getting a contract in the UFC. He was a very, very tough fighter. And he was Kendall's main competition on the Ultimate Fighter. And he had his first fight against Ross Poynton, won that fight. In his second fight, he was calling out Caleb Starnes. And I said, what are you doing, bro? Don't call out Caleb. Fight him in the fucking final. you know, but get to the final first, get to the finale, the live grand finale in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, right? But he's like, no, nah, brah, I want to fight the man now, brah, you know, because I'm from Hawaii, man, right? And he said, I want to fight him now. And I said, well, why do you want to fight him now? He said, well, because if I can't beat him, I don't belong. And I was like, wow, that's really courageous of you. Because I'm picking off the low-hanging fruit all fucking day long. I'm going for Christian Rothamel. I'm fighting. I would have fought the deaf guy, but he was strong as fuck. I'm like, avoid the deaf guy, go for the weak guys. Do you know what I mean?
Go for the weak. He can't even cut a promo. You got a fucking...
You know, but I really, really respected Caleb Starnes for that. I was like, wow, that's really cool. It's also stupid. Yeah. No, it's also a little bit dumb because if you lose, you're fucked. And this is a huge opportunity. And to answer that question, yeah, Stevie Wonderboy Thompson is probably as hard a fight as fighting the champ in some ways. Sorry, Lewis.
So I was going to say Caleb Starnes also from Hawaii? Mm-mm.
No, Canadian.
No. Kendall Grove is from Hawaii.
Yes.
Okay, I got confused. You were talking about Kendall Grove. What said that about Caleb Starnes or Caleb Starnes...
Kendall Grove said it about Caleb Starnes.
Yes.
And he ended up fighting him in the semifinal and he won in what was going on to be a classic fight. And it was a great fight. It was awesome. Yeah. All right, Luce, you got any questions that you want to go to?
I got a bunch of good ones.
Don't refer to them as a little bit downsy.
I don't know what to say. Look, if people can make fun of my appearance, they make fun of your appearance. Why can't we make fun of their appearances? This is fucking
because,
crazy.
Because we're trying to build a show and they're going out of their way to send in a video question. What we do is we say thank you. We praise them. We answer the question. Then when we hang up, we go, whoa, he looked a bit fucking downsy, didn't he? You know what I mean?
He did though, right? Sorry. Maybe he did at least.
I'm joking, by the way, Mr. Down. But I'm joking. All right. When are you looking to? So here we have AZZMCFC. He said, "When are you looking to do a tour of BYM?" Bit of a silly question with Corona, but is it in your future plans? Well, it is in my plans next year, Lewis. Next year we're going to do a full tour across the UK, and I'm working on that one man show. I've started writing it out better. Lewis, what do you have in terms of questions?
Let's see what do we got here. I mean, I got a few good ones that were kind of fun. All right, let's go with, this is actually a fun question. And then there was somebody, all right, so somebody asked, this is Kenny H. Jello on Twitter. Kenny Wilson asks, what's the difference between the UK, England, and Great Britain? And just some C-note followed up to this and said, Lewis has to answer.
Well, I was just about to say, I would love to hear Lewis answer this question because for me, it's very, very rudimentary. Okay, this is basic geography, okay, that if you go to school, you would know. So, Lewis, without further ado, just explain to these numbskulls what the difference between England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales is and the UK. Just explain
okay.
that.
Okay, so the UK is England, part of Ireland, I think, Scotland and Wales.
Very good.
Okay.
Very impressed.
England is a country, and yes. That is also Great Britain. Great Britain is England.
We are a collective united kingdom. We are a kingdom and we're united, correct, yes. But we are a country, yeah, we're not a continent. We are a country, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. We're a little collective, you know what I mean? We left the EU, we're just doing our own thing. Here for the videos... I don't know who's at here for the video, says, and this is ridiculous, has Rebecca ever started shit with someone at a bar just to make you jealous or just because she knew you could beat them up?
This is going to turn into a fight. Please don't answer this question.
Well, it's just very convenient that Rebecca is in the background. Have you ever started a fight, babe? Come over here, show yourself. Have you ever started a fight in a bar? I mean, we know the answer to this.
Have I ever started a fight? Knowing full well that you would kind of defend my honor.
Has Rebecca ever started shit with someone at a bar to make you jealous?
No. Never. I don't play games.
Rebecca knows better than to make Michael jealous. If she makes him jealous, he's going to end up in jail. Somebody's going to end up in the fucking hospital.
Yeah, I would do the opposite. I would never do that because I know your tendency to overreact. So I would do the exact opposite.
So you lie to him?
Yes.
I would lie. I'd say, no.
She was making out with guys in the bathroom, but then just lying. Said, no. I just dropped a deuce. That's all it was, Michael. Took me a while. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
You know.
No. Go on, get out of here.
Poor Rebecca.
On that note, I'm sorry. I'm very crude. She loves me. What can I tell you?
Video question?
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's go to a video question, please.
Hey, what's up, Michael Bisping, Lucia Gomez, Brent Hendo 64 here again. And Michael Bisping, you once said that you took yourself out of the USADA testing pool once you retired because you didn't want to be tempted to go back and fight. My question is, what if you never took yourself out of the USADA testing pool? Since you retired, are there any fight opportunities that you think would have taken you out of retirement? For example, a fight with an up-and-coming Edmund Shahbazyan, a title fight with Israel Adesanya, or maybe even a catchweight fight with Chad Mendes? Let me know. Thanks.
Damn, Brent Hendo knows exactly how to fucking ask a question. Great video, great lighting.
I want that fucking background. Brent Hendo, you are the man. Oh, I was going to open the show with this new TV program I've been watching on Netflix called High Score with Lucas. James likes video games. Go and watch High Score. It's all about how video games came to be a thing, how they started in the arcade. Basically, the history. And then the whole...
Oh, cool. It's a TV show?
It's on Netflix.
It's a
mini-series, yeah. Like six, eight parts, whatever. It talks about the war between Nintendo and Sega, and then Street Fighter 2 coming on, then Mortal Kombat, and how violence, you know, more violent games we're getting and stuff. It's really, really good. Lucas absolutely loves it. And then I see the Sega sign in the background. He's got all the lights. He's got the TV purposely switched to, like, the black and white. You know,
that's cool. It's cool.
Aesthetic.
And also the way he asked the question, he thought it out. He rehearsed it five or six times. He ended it perfectly. Everyone needs to watch Brent Hendo and the way that he puts together his video and his question. This is why he gets on so much. He gets on every fucking time. He looks better than us. His production is better than ours.
Yeah, yeah. His light, his background, his delivery, the way he looks.
He rules. Better.
That's why Brent Hendo is going to be my producer at some point soon. We're rising up the ranks. We're taking over. We are the number one MMA podcast because we're the only MMA podcast.
It's over. Fighter of the Kid's done. Let's go.
Hey, we're one man's rain is another man's sunshine or some shit. I keep trying to get that saying right on the podcast. I can't get it. One day I'll Google it. But Brent Hendo, baby, our time is coming. Our time is coming. Our time in the sun, the shine, whatever. I'll be able to ask you questions. You'll be able to ask me questions face to face. That's how good.
But he's going to ask them just like that. He's like, Michael Bisping, do you want to have a turkey sandwich for lunch, pizza, or sushi? Because
I can't wait to have... Brent Hendo versus Harrington. Oh, I mean,
Brent Hendo will fuck Harrington up. You see his 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu shirt? He looks like he's in shape. He's one of those under-the-radar nerd kids. I hate that guy. Not him in particular, but these nerdy little fucking jiu-jitsu guys where you're like, oh, this is a fucking dweeb. But then they can just twist you into a pretzel.
Ryan Hall from the UFC. You hate Ryan Hall?
I hate him.
He offers a lot of entertainment, puts on great performances. You hate Ryan Hall?
I'll say it to his face.
He's a very, very nice guy. He saved two babies from drowning in a river. You hate Ryan Hall?
I was trying to drown those babies. He thwarted my plan.
Mind your own business, Ryan Hall. Okay, just go to your fucking jiu-jitsu class, you nerd.
Harrington said, book the fight with him and Brent Hendo. He said, Harrington, you're a fucking pussy. I mean, Jesus Christ, Harrington.
He's trying to get in on your act.
I said, book the fight if I can get it for $5,000. I need the money, Lewis.
$5,000? Who on earth is going to pay you $5,000 to fight anybody, Harrington?
I meant the total purse. So, like, I'd get three, he'd get two if I won.
No. Listen, grassroots MMA, there's people that are trying to do this for a living. There's gyms all over the world where legit fighters that are prospects that will be in the UFC one day, that might be a champion of the world. They are sleeping in their fucking cars and fighting on fairground shows for $100. But you expect to fight Brent Hendo with a split pot of $5,000.
I mean, it's a dream. Guys can dream. I mean, I don't know.
I swear to God, I will split the $5,000 with you if Harrington will fight Brent Hendo, but winner takes all.
I'll do it. $2,500 each. Brent Hendo versus Harrington. I take your half. Brent Hendo takes his half. Harrington versus Brent Hendo. I mean, number one, we've got to speak to Brent Hendo. Let's see if he's in. But I'll fucking train Brantendo because he's.
I mean, if Brantendo's just wearing a 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu like fucking tight ass fucking singlet, and he doesn't actually do jiu-jitsu, he deserves to die. I hate him. So he's even worse than I thought.
No, I love Brantendo. That's my guy. That's my producer. All right, pull him back. You're all fucked. When I get a studio and I have Brantendo,
it's over.
I'm gonna stop answering the calls, buddy.
It's okay. It's
over. I'm like, who is this? Crank call. Crank call. Don't call me anymore. What was the question after all that?
Yes, if you had stayed in the USADA testing pool, what would have been a fight that could have tempted you to come back out of retirement?
Yeah, that was hilarious. So then he, first of all, I mean, there was a massive jump around here,
yeah.
Brantendo. You went from Edmund Shabazian, who just got knocked out or choked out, whatever the fuck it was, something out last week.
He didn't win.
And then he went to Israel Adesanya, the undefeated middleweight champion of the world, the King Kong of the division with pink hair, setting the world on fire, or Edmund Shabazian, right? Disparity there. Funnily enough, I go for Israel Adesanya. You know, it's funny. I do think about coming out of retirement here and there. If my fucking knees and stuff like that. I do miss it. I miss it. I miss the sport. I'm going to open a gym, a proper gym. Mikey B's Martial Art Warehouse. Workout Warehouse. Mikey B's Workout Warehouse. I'm going to train people. I'm going to corner people. I'm going to be a badass.
Can we work on the name?
No. It's called Mikey B's Workout Warehouse. Rebecca's on the front desk. Okay, and it's only $300 a month. I'll never be there. Rebecca will be there constantly. Sorry, guys. Rebecca's taking this jiu-jitsu and MMA class. But, you know, they were like, that's fine by us, Michael. That's fine by us.
Oh, shit.
A fight to take me out of retirement.
Is there one that could have tempted you?
Yeah. A third fight with Rockhold. I guess, because I'm assuming there's an appetite for that. That'd be a good one. A third fight with Rockhold. Listen, let me get my knee fixed and fucking I will take a fight. Let me get my knee fixed and do it in Russia or China or England or basically outside of America. There's things called athletic commissions which don't exist. So nobody gives a fuck once you get out of America. Funnily enough, notice I used to fight internationally a lot. Anyway, leaving that one there. Don't pick up on it. Don't go any further with that line of questioning. Just saying, I was an international guy. No commissioni. Next question. What have you got, Lewis? I see you staring at Twitter like a madman.
Yeah, let me pull up one or two more here. We got to wrap up in a little bit. I do apologize.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We're good. I'm good for a while. I'm good for a while, me. I've got the sapopo flowing. I'm good.
It's fucking tomorrow for us.
I've got my wife supporting what I do here. Guys, I'll answer questions all day. We've only done two questions, Lewis. Ask the damn question.
Hold on. I got to get good ones. They're not all good questions, Bisping.
Jesus Christ. He hasn't even got one picked out. Hi, Mike. I was just wondering, is there any truth to the rumor on the Ultimate Fighter show that you used to let one of your teammates smash you in the brown eye with vegetables? Seen it on here. Not sure if I believe it. Okay, fair enough. That was the random question that I went to. And to your point, you need to go through the questions first. Yes, I used to
smash you in the brown eye with
vegetables. Smash me in the brown eye with a carrot. That's what he says.
You get fucked with vegetables. But...
Yeah. On the Ultimate Fight, I was regularly getting fucked up vegetables. Now I've destroyed my camera. Great, there it goes. Hold on. Give me some light, shit. Bitch. Give me some light, bitch. There we go. I'm trying to focus. I've lost it. Pet Zed's falling off.
A lot about the Bisping betrayal on Legion of Skanks. Yeah, great. Thanks, Bisping, for supporting Big J.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Keep going.
Who hit
you in the nuts the hardest? And do you think it was intentional? That was from Vetti Blogger. I never really took a hard one. Why did Callum choose to go to a D2 school for wrestling? Because he's a failure. Simple as that. He's a failure. Kept telling him, I couldn't look him in the eye. I'm like, are you serious? D2. Have you seen the new Batman trailer? There you go, Lewis.
Oh, that's a good question. Hold on, I have a good question that I just
remembered. Go ahead.
And I have not seen the new Batman trailer.
Me neither. Robert Pattinson, kind of kills it for me.
I didn't even know there was a new Batman trailer.
Well, there is a new Batman trailer, and it stars Robert Pattinson, formerly of, what's it called? Twilight fame, the Twilight saga.
Oh, yeah.
You seem like a Twilight guy. In fact, Harrington, are you a Twilight guy?
I'm not going to lie. I read all the books.
I knew it! I knew it! Yes! Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I read all the books when you went, like a pained agreement.
I got them. I got them on audiobook, and I was just driving around in my car for like 2 weeks, and I just banged through the whole series. It's terribly written, but I've seen the new trailer. It is awesome.
Rebecca likes the fucking Twilight Saga. How would you? Can you have a bit of respect, please?
It's just not a well-written book series. I'm sorry, Rebecca.
All right, Lewis, with your question, please.
This is a decent one. This is from Paul Smith 1331 on Twitter. He said, "If you or Bisping were to have another child, would you prefer a girl or a boy? Thank you for the content. I love it."
Lewis, go ahead.
You have you know, because you have both. You have the data on both. So now you know. Oh, yeah. It's based off of experience. You're like, I know what the fuck I want next.
Oh, yeah.
I got to be honest with you. Probably another little boy. I want a little girl.
You got to have one of each. A yin with the yang. A penis with a vagina. Yeah. Okay? Long hair with short hair. Deep voice with light voice. Okay? Balance in the universe.
I think that I would... I don't know how to deal with a little girl. I got a little boy already. I got to figure it out. I don't want to have to grow up and have to worry about a little girl in this world. It's a fucking crazy world out there.
Let me tell you this. What time is it now? It's 9:02. My daughter went into LA today. Okay. She's 17 years old. She went out in what would appear to be like, you could make the argument. It was a bikini. Okay. The shorts were very short, but it's fucking 100 degrees out there. The top was very small. You know, but it's hot. But that's how they all dress. You know what I'm saying? Callum gave us no issues whatsoever.
He was wearing a thong.
But
Callum just went out. Callum just went out. Just one nut hanging out.
Callum was wearing a thong.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy. These Bisping kids, they just go out.
they're in their underwear, apparently. In sexual underwear. No, Rebecca's clicking in the background. Don't say too much is what is meant. But yeah, I'm not going to say much. Don't worry. No, we have had a few more challenges with our daughter as opposed to our sons. Obviously, Lucas is still young. But teenage girls, when they hit that real, you know, that real teenage-y stage, they got a lot of hormones and stuff going on. So, I mean, when I was a kid, I was a little shit in those years. And Ellie, I guess, took after me. So, you know, she, it's hard, as you said, Lewis, to your point, it's hard for us as men to... To sympathize, to relate. Hard to relate to what young girls are going through.
Yeah, it really is. And I would just have a hard time. I would almost feel like I would like depend more on her mother to sort of do that. And my only experience right now is co-parenting. So it's hard for me to be in the mindset of sort of being in a relationship with a young girl that way. And I have a niece who's 5 years old, but even with her, I'm glad she's my niece and not my daughter. It's like, she's coming up in this world. And it's just, I think it's like, look, it's tough for boys too, obviously, but I think it's just weirdly like tough for little girls. And like, it's just sort of like, you know, everyone's got an opinion online now. And it's just sort of like, it's just sort of a crazy, I don't know. I wouldn't want to have these awkward conversations with my teenage daughter about everything from boys to fucking going out and to not drinking. And it's just easier with the boy, I think.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's more straightforward from our perspective. Rebecca, come over here. You're obviously 50% of this parenthood. Chime in. Give your opinion, please. Because, you know, I'm dying to burp, if I'm honest. And I'll let you talk for a minute while I do that.
What am I giving my opinion on? If we had another child.
What was the question, Lewis?
If you had another child, what would you rather, a boy or a girl?
And for what reason?
Well, I wouldn't care because we've got both. And I found both quite easy, to be honest with you. Girls are easy because I'm one. And all my, you know, Lucas and Callum, they've been very easy up to now. And I can relate with them as well. So that's not a great answer, but...
Boring. Go sit down again, Rebecca. Boring. Sorry, guys, everyone. Very sorry. My wife is fucking boring. Sorry. Right. See, you want a boy. You want a boy.
This is why nobody listens to women on podcasts.
That's because you want a boy. Okay, simple as that. No. Yeah. You know, who cares? Lewis, I'll tell you what you should have. You've got a boy already. You need a girl.
I'm not having any more kids.
Would you have the snip?
I would consider having the snip, but the problem is girls, the reason they're attracted to me, any girls at all, is because I'm a good dad.
And there's a lot of girls that are attracted to you. We've talked about this. It's mind-blowing. I don't know how you deal with it.
I do pretty well, Bisping. For a fucking fat guy that looks like a turtle.
I'm feeling your pain. Everywhere you go, women throw themselves at you. You're the great Luis J. Gomez. People hear that and they're like, whoa, ho, ho. Right? I don't know how you do it, bud. It's tough. It's a
I'm just saying, when a woman is attracted to me, typically, I think one of the reasons she's attracted to me is because I'm a good father. And I think that if I took away my ability to be a father with them, that a lot of the reason that they're attracted to me would disappear with that.
Hold on. There's a lot to unpack there. So you're saying that women are attracted to you because you're a really good father, but if you take that away, I feel like you're talking about fucking your own kids here. What's going on?
What the hell are you talking about? I'm saying if I snip my balls and I can't have kids, then I think women aren't going to be as attracted to me.
Sorry, I forgot about the ball snipping. Sorry, my bad. I'm like, what's he talking about? Like, because he's a good father and this and that. I'm like, what? I kind of want to have the snip. I need the snip. We do not want another kid. Another kid right now to me would be a death sentence to my life. We had kids at 20 years old. Wow. I was 20 years old.
I hope you don't have another kid and they ever hear this podcast, because that's going to break their heart.
To my unborn child, if you ever surface on this planet, you're a fucking prick. There you go.
You're the bane of my existence. You piece of shit. You ruined it all. We were almost out. We were so close.
We have extensive plans, okay? We want to go traveling the world. We want to do everything we wanted to do in our 20s, but we're going to do it in our 50s. It's not going to be as much fun. All right, next question. Brian, what have we got? We got a video.
All right, baby boys. Question for you guys. Who's the best talent to come out of The Ultimate Fighter? We got current Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, legends. I mean, Forrest Griffin, Rashad Evans, Matt Serra, Nate Diaz, Tony Ferguson, TJ Dillashaw, Cody Garbrandt. I mean, our own Michael Bisping. I mean, who's the best? Let me know what you guys think. Michael, I love you. Louis J. motherfucking Gomez, I love you. Harrington, do a better job, please.
Hell yeah.
Most underrated MMA podcast in the game. Love you guys. Let me know what you think.
It's the only one left.
First of all, that's how you ask a question. No offense, Brant Sendo. He fucking came in hard, fast, straight to the point. Didn't fuck around. He had an aggressive but like capturing personality. You wanted to look at this man and hear what he had to say. There was an intensity there that Brant Sendo doesn't bring.
Devil's advocate? Devil's advocate. Also a little downsy.
No. I was going to ask. He's far from downsy. How could you say that? This guy was sharp. He was on the money. He was dressed well. He had a very strict diet regime, or maybe he's just starving. He was very skinny. He's in shape. I'm sure if he took his top off, he looks better than all of us. Downsy did not come into my mind.
No. That guy was the opposite of Downsy, whatever the opposite is.
He was a sharp man. Best fighter to come out of The Ultimate Fighter. All right, I'll take it around the board. Guys, I can't do this. You know, I can't be objective. I got to take myself out of this situation. I can't answer this question. Simple as that. I'm just a man.
Who are people that came out of The Ultimate Fighter that won titles?
He just went through he went through literally everybody on the list.
that won a title?
No, the ones that won titles were me, Rashad Evans, Forrest Griffin won the belt. Harrington, just try and chime in as well if you got any more. Yeah, me, Rashad, Forrest Griffin. Tony Ferguson won the interim belt. Anything else, Hamilton? What are you thinking?
TJ. That's the one I was going to pop up with was Tony, but yeah, TJ as well. And Cody.
Yeah, TJ Dillashaw. Yep.
Oh, and Rose. Thug Rose.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Thug Rose. Yeah, she was on the Ultimate Fighter. Ooh,
Thug Rose actually might be better than Bisping. That's the only one that I could think of that's probably more respected and accomplished.
Yes, I agree. And she's got way better hair. Way better hair.
You have similar hair.
I used to. If I pull up a side by side of me in 2009 alongside Thug Rose today, it's good. Because in 2009, when I fought Dan Henderson, I was skinny as fuck. I looked like Thug Rose.
You did.
I was so skinny. I'm telling you, if you can do that, that would be a funny one to put in post. Suggestion, hint, aggressive demand to put that in post. But yeah, there you go, Thug Rose.
What about earlier? There was nobody else that won a title from earlier?
It's not easy to win the title, doggy.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe we're missing one or two. But yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, the Ultimate Fighter was a terrific tool for the UFC to find new talent. And I think they're bringing it back. I think so. I'm sure I saw something online. Haven't heard anything from Dana or, you know, the circle of trust, shall we say. But I did see some talk online from some respected journalist, I think, saying that it may be making the comeback. So that'd be good. I think, you know, when something goes away for a while and when you get hungry for it, you know, then, because it was just a little bit overplayed, wasn't it? Two seasons every year from 2005 up until 2018. It just became a little old hat, but now it's gone away for a while. People are yearning for it again. So I'd like to see it make a comeback. Any more? Is that the three that we had, Brian?
Yeah, that's our video questions for today.
Yeah, that was the three we had. I apologize, Bisping. I mean, if you can stay on all night, you and Rebecca could do fucking love line, do relationship questions for the rest of the night. I do have to wrap this one up. I apologize.
I just wanted to comment on Brian's hair. That's all I wanted to do, and I was going to say goodbye. When I see the hair, it makes me feel special, warm and tingly inside. Okay. Guys, wish me luck. By the time you hear this, I will be recovering from a very invasive surgery.
Or?
Devil's advocate.
Dead.
Could be dead. Could be dead. In fact, by the time you hear this, I'll be led upstairs out of my mind on painkillers, ordering Rebecca around like crazy. She's the one. You're a saint, babe. You're a saint. She's going to suffer through the surgery more than I am. In the meantime, Lewis,
you're the best. Bisping, thank you very much. Good luck with your surgery. Please don't die. I will. We will see you next. We will see you guys next Monday. Thank you for watching. Peace.